So yes, the tomb is still empty. So up from the grave he arose. Christ arose. He who has all power. He had all power going into the grave. He had all power coming out of the grave. He arose. The tomb is still empty. The grave is still empty. It's still empty. Death couldn't hold him. The grave could not hold him. He's our risen Savior. See, if he would have just died for our sins, and that was it, that wasn't enough. He had to come back to life to show that was pleasing to God, that indeed God was pleased with the sacrifice of his Son, the all-sufficient Savior. And we do this morning serve a risen Savior, one who has redeemed us, one who has reconciled us back to God. We were strangers. We were alienated. We were actually, literally, the Bible says, enemies of God. But now if you're in Christ, you can be called a friend of God, a son of God, a daughter of the living God. I would much rather be a friend of God than an enemy of God. I'm glad I'm in his family. I'm glad I have been grafted in. He's brought me and you into his family. And we are now the people of God, the redeemed of God. And the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We should say it with our lips and with our lifestyle. It's good to see each and every one of you this morning. It's a blessing to see all of you all. Good to see Sister Howie back. She's been out sick for a couple of weeks. Good to have her back this morning. And good to have all of you all here this morning. Be always mindful in our bulletins. We always put the sick and shut in. So as you take your bulletins home today, always pray for those who are on our sick and shut in list. And I won't read all the names, but definitely pray for each and every one of them. Excuse me, each and every one of them. And of course, this year, this season, even though it hasn't been a mild winter weather-wise, I don't know. I was telling Tanya earlier, I don't know if I've known of a winter season where so many people have been sick with the flu or pneumonia and just different things and allergy stuff or whatever. So be praying. We got a couple of people that are not on the list that I want you to pray for. Pray for Sister Shirley Pittner. She's been under the weather for a week and a half or so. Even though she still typically calls into the prayer line at 12, she hasn't really been able to really say anything or pray. So pray for her, Shirley Pittner. I also pray for Brother D.G.M. Lowe. He had the flu, and so keep him in your prayers. Good to see his family here. His daughter Bailey is here from Vanderbilt. Good to see her down from Nashville and Vanderbilt. And actually, Sister Lowe, probably pray for her too. She's running a marathon today, 26 miles or so. She's running, and actually Rodney and Kathy Scott, they're running the half marathon, you know, the 13 miles or so. So pray for them today as well. Matter of fact, when Deacon Leviso was trying to get here to teach Rodney's class this morning, he said they had all of downtown blocked off and he had to go all around the world just to get to church this morning. So pray for them as they run today. But definitely keep our sick and shut in your prayers. And just pray for one another. Even though a person might not be sick physically, all of us know people who are sick spiritually, maybe either saved or unsaved. And if they're unsaved, we know they're sick spiritually. But sometimes even Christians, our brothers and sisters in Christ, sometimes get off track and kind of struggling spiritually. So we want to always just pray for one another. Always pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And with that being said, let us pray now. Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you, dear God, for the privilege of prayer. Thank you for the gift of prayer. Thank you for this preaching time, dear God. I pray that even as the words come out of my mouth, that you would indeed take those words, dear God, and take your word, Father, and implant it deeply in all of our hearts and our minds. You've told us to hide your word in our heart that we might not sin against you. So, dear God, hide your word, your preached word in the hearts and minds of all of us, your people, this morning. And then as we leave here today, dear God, don't let us be just hearers of the word of God, but let us be doers. Let us apply what we have heard and learned this morning for your glory and for our good. And I just pray this in Jesus Christ's mighty and awesome name. Amen. Amen. going to ask you to stand, please, if you can. Stand and take your Bibles as I continue this series on relationships, this series on relationships. Ephesians chapter 6. We've been in Ephesians chapter 5 thus far primarily, but now Ephesians chapter 6. Verses 1 through 4, it's a good thing that today we don't have children's church, because today's message is for everybody, but definitely for the younger people, but definitely for all of us, though, especially if we still have, I mean, it's for all of us, but we want to definitely focus a little more on the young people today. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath or to anger, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Let me read part of this again. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. Verse 3, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. As you take your seat, I'm just going to, a simple topic, as I preach this morning, the child's role in the home. The child or the children's role in the home, the child's role in the home, or the children's role in the home, the child's role in the home, the child's role in the home. You know, the last couple of weeks I've been talking about, been preaching from the thought of the wife's role in the home, the wife's role in marriage. That was last week. The week before that, it was the husband's role, the father's role in marriage, the father's role in the home. So this week, our primary target audience is the children, the child's role in the home. What's your role in the home? So this is for young people, you know, children still living at home. Also, it's for young people or children who are not living at home. Also, it's for those, really all of us fit in this category. Also, it's for those of us who, you know, may be grown, if you will, and may even have our own children, but still have parents living, a mother or a father living, or maybe like in my case, my father has gone on to be with the Lord, but I still hear some of his words now. I still hear some of his wisdom now. So yes, this message really covers all of us this morning. But our primary and focus audience are going to be those of you who are still actually at home. But it covers all of us. It covers all of us. And also, if you're here this morning, if you want it to go well with you, if you want to do things that are pleasing to the Lord, and I think any of us in here with any reasonable amount of thinking, all of us want it to go well with us. All of us want to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. So if that's you this morning, if you want it to go well with you, if you want to be pleasing to the Lord, guess what? You're in the right place. You're in the right place this morning, because the Lord is going to show us even this morning for you, young person or even adult, how you and I can take some steps to make sure things go well in our life and that we live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. The text starts out in Ephesians 6. It just starts out, like I said previously, in the previous verses, God had addressed the husband, the father, you know, the wife, the mother. So he addressed them. And so now the Lord says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. You might say, why? Because it is the right thing to do. If you're taking notes this morning, it's going to be just simple notes right out of the text, right out of the text. You might want to just write down, I need to obey my parents. I need to obey my parents. You need to just write that down, especially the young people. All of us need to be writing that down, but you need to write that down. I need to obey my parents. Somebody might say, why? Well, it is right. It is the right thing to do. Matter of fact, God just said it. God said, children, obey your parents. I don't have to exegete that too deeply. I don't have to, you know, look up all the different words and see what they mean. That's just pretty simple, pretty straightforward. It said, children, somebody say that with me. It said, children, obey your parents, for it is right. It's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. You and I should obey our parents. It's the right thing to do. And as I preach this morning, kind of like I did even in the sermons dealing with marriage, I'm making a presupposition. I'm making an assumption that the home is a Christian home. I'm saying a Christian dad, a Christian mom, parents who are striving to live by the word of God. So that's kind of my context this morning, because obviously none of us are called to obey our parents if they're asking us to do unbiblical stuff or asking them to do things that violate the word of God. That's your only little out, if you will. If your mom or dad trying to tell you to do something that's ungodly or unbiblical. But I like to say that prayerfully, under the sound of my voice this morning, no parents are trying to get our kids to do something that's ungodly or unbiblical. So that pretty much cuts off that out right there. If mother or dad are telling you what thus saith the Lord, they're telling you godly wisdom, our children, that God says, the Lord says, obey your parents in the Lord, for it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. So you should obey. It's the right thing to do. And you know, I talked earlier about age. My oldest daughter lives in Michigan. She'll be 31 this month. And she has two sons. So I'm actually a granddad, pawpaw, grandpa now. But even with that being said, my mother, who is 81, guess what? I still obey what my mother tells me to do. I'll be telling like, well, I'm grown. I got grandkids. I'm grown. No, you still need to obey mom and dad. If you're blessed to have a mother and father still living. But even if you don't, like my dad, like I said, he's in glory now, but I still listen to some of his wisdom. So you and I, no matter how old, how young you are, in between, you need to obey your parents. Obey your parents in the Lord, because it is the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. It's the God-honoring thing to do. It's not a suggestion. It's a mandate. It's a commandment. I'll get to that in just a second. It's a commandment from God. Children, obey your parents. Children, obey your parents. Write this down as a reference and read it later. Colossians 3:20 says it this way. It says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. So another reason right there, young people, to obey, and older people to obey, is because it's the right thing to do and it's well pleasing to the Lord. So if you profess to be a follower of Christ, you need to, or you want to be doing things that are well pleasing to the Lord. Am I right? It's not a trick question. Am I right? If you say you're a follower of Christ, you want to do things that are pleasing to the Lord, right? There it is. Colossians 3:20 said, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing to the Lord. That's a good start, young people. So I want to please the Lord today. Well, listen to your mama or dad. Listen to what they're telling you to do as they give you biblical instruction, biblical guidance. If you follow them, God says pleasing to him. And then if we mess up, the father or the mother, if we get some crazy advice, then God going to hold us accountable as parents. I get to that in a minute, but he's going to hold us accountable. But your part, young people, is to obey what mama and daddy says. Obey what mama and daddy says. And then he goes on in verses 2 and 3 of Ephesians chapter 6. I probably won't hold you too long this morning. Ephesians chapter 6. The Lord says, honor, not only obey your parents. That's the right thing to do. Obey them. But not only that, he says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. So the law says, you might want to jot that down. He says, honor, not only do you obey your parents, but also you honor your father and mother. You respect them. You reverence them in a way, not like you would reverence the Lord quite like that, but still you honor and respect your mother and father. You might see it every now and then. I see it every now and then. One of the things that really just irked me to death is when you see a young person just disrespecting their mom or dad. I mean, that just kind of irks me to death, you know. And, you know, you see it in different cultures, but even when we start talking about this obey thing, every now and then I'm in a store, and it doesn't happen all the time, but sometimes you're in a store and you got a mother or father, you got a mother, and use it in this particular scenario. Most of the time, I've seen it in a, not necessarily in our ethnic culture, our ethnic group, and I just leave that alone. But you see a parent, a mother, someone, come on, Johnny, if you get in line, I'm going to buy you a piece of candy. I'm going to get you this toy. If you get in, I'll be thinking about it. You just need to grab Johnny and put him on over here in line. If you don't grab that jugger while he's 3 or 4 or 5 years old, he's going to be grabbing you pretty soon. You better grab him while you can grab him. But don't be bargaining with Johnny or Susie or whoever. So, young people, honor your father and your mother. Honor your father and your mother. Matter of fact, God gives us a promise. Look at this, young people. God gives us a promise. And older people as well. Like I said, sometimes some of us, we get a little older and we still want to dishonor our parents just because we, quote unquote, grown. You still need to honor your father and mother. He says, look, this is the first commandment with a promise. And verse 3 says, that it may be well with you. So right there. One of the reasons you need to obey your parents because it's the right thing to do. Another reason you need to obey your parents because it's well-pleasing to the Lord. Another reason you need to honor your father and your mother. God says, verse 3, he says, that it may go well with you. So one reason, another reason to obey your mother and father, to honor your mother and father, that it may go well with you. Growing up, you know, even as a elementary or middle school, called a junior high then, and high school, even college, I can think back to certain things my parents explicitly told me to do. They told me to zig, and I zagged, and end up, guess what? It always turned out bad. And it could be simple stuff. Like, I remember when I was growing up, most of the fellas, anyway, Brother Tommy, we used to hate wearing toboggans. And so my mom and dad used to be like, boy, put something on your head. Wear this toboggan. And guess what? I put that toboggan on my head. Soon as I got on the school bus, it's coming off my head. Next thing I know, a day or two, I got some kind of head cold or something. You know, like, man, I should have kept that toboggan on my head. I mean, when your parents tell you to do something, it's for your well-being. You know, it's for your good. So obey your parents. Honor your father and mother that it may go well with you. See, some of you might even be thinking now, you might be wondering why things in my life are in disarray. You may be wondering, somebody says that you're hard-headed. Yeah, that's good, hard-headed. You might be wondering, why is my life taking a bad turn? Why are the wheels just falling off? Well, first, I want to ask you, are you obeying your parents? That's a great place to start. If your life is kind of not going as it should be going, or are you obeying godly counsel? Are you obeying the wisdom of your parents? See, you know how it is when you're younger. You think you know everything, and really you don't know nothing. You don't know anything. See, when your parents tell you certain things, they're telling you, especially, I'm talking about, once again, Christian, but we're telling you from the Word of God, telling you biblical wisdom, plus some of those same type of mistakes or whatever, we've made them. So we say, hey, don't go down that road. I know where that road leads. Don't go down that road. And kids be like, oh, mom and daddy, hey, oh, they don't know what they're talking about. Well, no, they do. They've either been there or have observed it. So children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Obey your parents, because this is well pleasing to the Lord. Honor your father and mother. Why? So that it may go well with you. So that it may go well with you. Listen to this. In the Ten Commandments, God's top 10, if you will, which are listed in Exodus chapter 20 and also again in Deuteronomy, but in Exodus chapter 20, listen to this, Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, got one of God's Ten Commandments. God says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Now, basically what God was telling his people then, you know, he had brought them out of Egypt. And he was taking them on to the promised land, you know, because of their disobedience and their lack of faith. You know, they wandered around for 40 years. But even before they went into the promised land, God said, I'm gonna set up the structure now. I'm gonna get the family structure right now. So young people, honor your father and your mother. Obey your father and your mother that you may live long in this land that I'm about to give to you. You know, one of the reasons the devil comes so hard at the family structure is because God, in his infinite wisdom, the family, the Christian family is a beautiful thing. You got a husband who's submitted to God. You got a husband who loves his wife as Christ loves the church. You got a wife who's respecting and honoring her husband. And then you got them raising their kids in the fear and admonition of the Lord, instructing them how they should be in the home and out in society. So when the family structure, when the home breaks down, that's why we have so many ills in society. And, you know, we try to run out to society and put all kind of band-aids on stuff. And I mean, some of that stuff is okay, but you're like, okay, let's do this. But now really, the root cause goes all the way back to the home. You know, if parents, if we're doing our job, and if young people, children are doing their job, when they go out into society, once again, they'll know about submitting to authority. They don't know about being, you know, obeying the people, you know, be the teacher, be the coach, be the police or whatever, because I've obeyed my dad. I've obeyed my mom. I've respected them. I've honored them. I've respected them. But when they don't get that at home, or when they rebel at home, it's going to be even worse when they get out into the world. So God said, this is where I wanted to be set up. In your home, children, obey your parents. Matter of fact, God was so serious about this that in the Old Testament, if kids were acting a fool, if they were disobeying, if they were just acting up, it wasn't just a little spanking every now and then. Eventually, guess what? They could literally be stoned to death. They'd be stoned to death. And that would cut down on a lot of disobedience. I mean, God was serious about that. I mean, you know, that's right. So as the Lord brought you in, he'll take you out. So God was serious about the family structure. He was serious about the husband and the wife coming under subjection to him and submitting to one another and raising their kids and children obeying. So much so, once again, children, if you obey, if you know, you got to a certain level, you obey, you can literally be stoned to death. As a matter of fact, this wasn't the only reason, but one of the reasons, it wasn't the only reason, but one of the reasons God allowed his children to get taken into captivity in Babylon was because of some of the disobedience of some of the children. It wasn't the only reason, but it was part of the reason. But if you remember, the Babylonians came in, they mostly got young people. You remember that? They mostly got the young people that were smart and intelligent, Daniel and all those guys. Part of the reason God allowed that to happen was because of disobedience of the kids. That wasn't the only reason, but it was part of the reason. God is serious about this home structure. He's serious about, I mean, it's a perfect model. I say it's a perfect model. It's a perfect model. God has laid it out. But we as a Christian family, we as a church, we just had to say, Lord, with your grace and with your mercy and with your power, we're going to execute it. But children, like I said, once again, today, your message is, children, obey your parents. Once again, if you're taking notes, write that down. Obey my parents. Why? Because it is right. Why? Because it is well-pleasing to the Lord. Why? Why should I honor my mother and father? Well, God said it, number one. That's reason enough right there. God said it. But also that it might go well with you. You can avoid a lot of headaches. You can avoid a lot of unnecessary pitfalls. Now, yeah, sure, we're going to all stumble. We're going to all bump our head every now and then. But if you just listen to your godly advice, you just listen to mama or daddy, you can miss out on a lot of crazy stuff. I remember growing up, one of my best friends lived right down the street from me. He was really gifted, smart, and he was really good in basketball and football. And just a good, he was one of my best little buddies. We shoot basketball together. And I remember when he was in the eighth grade, I was in the ninth grade, his dad died. And my little buddy, who was a cool guy, you know, going well for him. But once his dad left the home, once he didn't have that type of covering in the home, not to say, you know, a lot of single parents, male or female, raised some great kids. But in this situation, once his dad came out of the home, each year I saw him begin to spiral downward. Mainly because his home structure got a little discombobulated. His mother was working, doing hard, doing the best she could, but she was working all the time. And so he just pretty much did his own thing after that. So it's important, my brothers and sisters, that you know, as husbands, as fathers, as moms, we raise our kids in the best way we know how, but also young people, this is your charge. Your charge is to obey mama and daddy. We're not there with you all the time. One of the most humbling things, some of you all might can relate to this, I remember when Ashley, you know, we were blessed. Tanya was at home most of the time with Ashley. And so once she got to the age where I had to take her, we kind of phased her in, but eventually took her to like kindergarten. you know, 5 years old, you know, not even first grade yet. I'll never forget this. It was Hamilton Christian School. They've closed now, though. But I took her over there, and she's always been kind of independent. So I'm her dad, so I was getting ready to drop her off and then go to work at TVA. And we got there, and I said, well, Ashley, you want me to walk in, you know, they take you on in there? She said, no, I'm okay, Daddy. And she got out of that car and walked on in. And as a parent, it was like, man, that whole phase of life is gone. For the next 7 hours, they got your little child at school. So all I'm saying, parents, is while we do have them, you know, before they get to school age, and then even after school age, the hours we do have them, we need to pour into them all that we can. Because they're going to come a time where they're going to walk on off to kindergarten or walk on off to middle school or high school or walk on off to college or walk on off to into the real world. So while we got them, though, under our roof, we got to pour into them all that we can. And young people, while you got your mom and dad there at home, I know most kids, like if you like me, when I got to be a senior in high school, I was like, man, I can't wait to leave home. Then once I left home, I was like, man, I can't wait to come back. Wish I can come back. The real life is out here. But while you're at home, young people, listen to your parents. When you leave home, listen to your parents. So they may go well with you. And then God gives us another reason right here in verse 3. He says, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. But then verse 3 says that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. So jot that down. Longevity. That you may live long on the earth. That you may live long on the earth. God says that you follow the instruction, the guidance, the leadership of your Christian dad, your Christian mom, and you follow their instructions. God said, you may live longer on the earth. You will literally kind of help to prolong your life. How many of us know people or grew up with people who did crazy, foolish, ungodly stuff, and guess what? Their life got taken away kind of shortly or quickly. I mean, I grew up with some guy who did some crazy stuff. I know their mother or father told them probably not to do that, and they chose to do that, and guess what? They got taken out. Many of you all might remember toward the late 80s, Len Bias. Any of y'all remember Len Bias? He played college basketball for Maryland, I think it was, and he was really good. He was kind of, in my mind, he was kind of like he and Michael Jordan. They were kind of close, and they were kind of similar players, and so he was getting ready to be the number one NBA pick in the late 80s, Len Bias. And then he went to a party, and they said it might have been his first time. He went to a party, and he basically OD'd on drugs. Life was cut short. I know his mother and father, they probably told him, stay away from drugs. And I think the report said he pretty much did that, but he got to that one night, said, hey, I'm about to get out of college, about to go to the NBA, and got into these drugs and was dead. I think his mother started a foundation. She goes around speaking against drugs. See, young people, when you don't follow biblical and godly counsel, you could potentially cut your life short. I had a cousin named Howard. I've mentioned him to you all before. We used to pray for him a lot. He grew up in a Christian home, but he didn't listen to the commandments of his mom or his dad. He just kind of did his own thing. And at the age of about 25 or 30, as I used to always kid him because I was a few years older than him, I said, man, I'd like you to step into a time warp machine or something. Because he was 25 or 30, but he looked about 50. And because of his lifestyle, because once again, not obeying his mother and his father, not taking godly counsel, boom, at 44 years old, dead, gone, he's gone. We buried him a few years ago. So God says, listen, obey your mother and your father. Honor your mother and your father. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long on the earth. When you start purposely doing stuff against your godly advice from your parents. When you start saying, I'm going to do this, I know mama or dad said do that, but I'm going to do this anyway. Hear me well. You potentially cutting your life short. Proverbs 22:6, as I transition into verse 5, Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that they should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So parents, once again, our job is to train them up in the right way. Young people, your job is to listen to and to obey and to absorb what mama or daddy is telling you. So we both got a part to play, right? Parents, we got to play our part, but young people, you got to play your part. So verse 4 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath or to anger, but bring them up in the training, one translation, and the fear and admonition or instruction of the Lord. Now when God says fathers, he's not excluding the mothers. Moms, you got to help teach too. But once again, going back even to verse 23, you know, this is all one big portion. God has called the husband, God has called the father to be the head, to be the leader of the home. We are brothers. We are called to be the priest and prophet of our home. So when God comes to our home, just like in Genesis 3, he's going to say, brother, a father, a dad, what have you been doing? What's your biblical plan for your family? How are you figuring out to raise up your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord? So once again, that's not to let the ladies, the wife off the hook or the mothers off the hook. They are to help as well. But brothers, you and I, God hold us all the more so responsible. So he said, fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. The father is ahead. Once again, the father is ahead. We are to raise them, our children, firmly, yet lovingly. Now, there are households, a lot of households out of balance. You know, I mean, parenting is not easy. Parenting is not easy. Let me say that again. Parenting is not easy. It's not easy. So some households, you know, yeah, some households where when it talks about fathers, provoke not their children to wrath. You got some households, I mean, they got their hand on the kid. Don't let them do a thing, nothing. Then you got other households, kids run the house. They can do whatever. I'm saying you and I need to definitely have the Bible as our compass, the Bible as our guide. And we parent our children. We give them structure. Yes. We give them order. We give them balance. We give them parameters. Yes. But even in doing it, we try not to provoke them, if you will, to anger. You know, we need to be careful not to place what I call unrealistic expectations on our kids. Now, once again, give them guidelines, give them structure, give them rules. Yeah. You know, but that old saying said rules without relationships results in rebellion. So I believe you got to have some rules. You got to have some guidelines. Base them on the word of God. Base them on the Bible. But even in the midst of that, make sure you weave in relationship. 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 You know, sometimes, I mean, there are times when you have to put the hammer down. And then there's a time when you just got to kind of hug them, you know, just kind of hug them. So just ask God for discernment in those cases. Sometimes you got to do both. I remember some of the whippings I used to get from my mom. She would say this. Now, y'all help me. I hadn't quite figured this one out yet. She says, I'm like, yes, I heard somebody saying it. She says, I'm like, this going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. I'd be thinking it to myself. I don't say it out loud, but I'd be thinking to myself, Mama, you wrong on that one. It ain't going to hurt you more than it's going to hurt me. But as I got older, brothers and sisters, as I got older and had my own kids, I kind of understand what she was saying. You know, it's no fun when you got to bring the hammer down. But there's time you got to bring the hammer down. If you don't bring it down, if I don't bring it down, somebody else is going to bring it down. They're going to bring it down to school, or they're going to bring the popo, they're going to bring it down. Somebody's going to bring it down. So we got to bring it down at home when we need to. So fathers and moms, bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Another thing too, especially if you have young kids, but even as they get older, somebody probably can relate to this. Our kids are smart. You know, they're shrewd. They're smart. So mom and dad, you got to make sure you're on the same page. Cause they're going to figure that thing out. They're going to say, well, we can go to daddy. He'll let us get away with it. Or we can go to mama. She'll let us get away with it. Y'all got to be on the same page. Don't let your kids put you against each other and you arguing in front of them. Well, no, I said do it this way. Mama said they over in the corner laughing. We got them now. We got them all divided. Even if you disagree on something, unless it's something major, maybe go along, go with your spouse. But then when you get behind closed doors, say, hey, well, now, honey, we shouldn't have done it that way. Let's talk this thing through next time. But you gotta have a unified front for your kids. Gotta make sure you're on the same page. If not, they'll play you against each other now. So all of us probably been held guilty on that one every now and then. But you got to have a unified front. And once again, you're thinking about it as kids, and I often hear Minister Terriman say this, as kids, I think we don't think about this enough. Really, our children, I'm going to read it in just a minute. Our children are a blessing from the Lord. He really loans, God loans them to us for what, 18 years, 19 or 20 years, or 21, 22, 23. Hopefully not too many more years. He loans them to us for a little while, and then we send them on out. But he gives us stewardship of our children, which are really his children, right? So we have to raise them in the fear and admonition, the fear and training of the Lord. So once again, households, you got to have some kind of a way to engage your kids in the scriptures. Be it a form of devotional time, a form of an informal devotional time. You need to be asking them or encouraging them, what are you reading even on your own, especially as they get older? What are you reading in the Bible? What are you learning? How are you going to apply it to your life? What adjustments do you need to make in your life? You need to have those type of conversations with your kids before you send them off at 18 or 19. They need to be in the Word of God. They need to be in the Word of God. And then even when they come to church, you need to ask them, like in Sunday Blast or from Children's Church, hey, what did y'all learn today? Or even if they're in here, well, what did you learn out of the sermon? You need to engage them in things around the Word of God. And even when they go to school, when they come back from school, what are you learning at school? What things are you being exposed to at school? You need to have those type of conversations with our children, starting in elementary, middle school, high school, college, whatever else. We need to have those type of conversations with our kids. And sometimes, I know this has been kind of a learning curve for me. Now, sometimes parents, it is communication, so we don't necessarily need to just give them a core dump. That's my old computer language, core dump. I mean, we don't need to just drop 100 sentences on them at one time, a whole page, a dissertation. No, it's a conversation. Just listen to them, then give them some biblical counsel, and then listen to them, and then give them some more information. That's hard sometimes. I said, that's hard sometimes. But I'm going to tell you, if you give them about too much at one time, they might hear about it, the first little part of it, and the rest of it, they just tune you on out. I remember my nephew, he was kind of like my little brother, really, but he was kind of growing up and getting some stuff he shouldn't have been getting into. And my mother was telling me about it. I was over in Arkansas one time. And so we were sitting there at the table, and my little nephew, he was about 19 or 20 there. And so, man, I hit him, brother, I hit him with a whole sermon. I hit him with about 20 minutes of stuff. And my mother looked at me, she said, I wanted you to talk to him, but you didn't need to tell him all that. You gave him too much. He can't handle all that. He can't digest all that. So just give him a little bit. Give him a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit here. But parents, fathers, we have to train up our children in the way that they should go. We have to train them in a way that we won't provoke them to anger, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So once again, kids, young people, this is your part. Obey your parents. Obey your parents in the Lord. Why? Well, it is right. It's what God tells us to do. Also, it pleases the Lord. It pleases the Lord when you obey your godly parents. Also, young people, you ought to honor, and all of us, we ought to honor your father and mother. Why? So that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Now, this longevity could actually even spill on over into talking about eternity. You know, once again, God's great design, he calls the mother and the father, he calls us as parents to model Christ's likeness in the home. And he calls us to point our children to Jesus. And of course, we can't make anybody get saved, but we can point them to Jesus. And we can pray for them. We can model Christ's likeness before them in such a way that not only do we want to see it go well for them while they're here on earth, but ultimately, we want to see all our kids in glory. We want to see them in heaven. So this living long, this longevity can secondarily really even apply to eternity. That's part of our task as parents. As best we can, we want to see our kids walk with Jesus. That's my main goal for my kids. Not so much they can get a good education and get a good job and all that stuff and do, get a good marriage, all that's good. But ultimately, as a parent, the number one thing that we want to see our kid is walk with Jesus. And guess what? If they walking with Jesus, all that other stuff will take care of itself. All that other stuff will take care of itself. If they walking with Jesus. Turn with me to Psalms 127. I'm just going to kind of read this. I'm almost in my seat. I'm almost sitting down. Psalms 127. Matter of fact, I'm almost in the parking lot. Psalms 127. I'm just going to start at verse 3, Psalms 127. And I got one other text I want to take you to. And we want to hopefully our children understand your role in the home. Your role is to obey your parents. because it's the right thing to do. Obey your parents because it's pleasing to the Lord. Honor your father and mother that it might go well with you and that you might live long on the earth. That longevity would be your friend. Psalms 127 starting at verse 3. Psalms 127 starting at verse 3 says, behold, children are a heritage, or children are a blessing from the Lord. Y'all see that? Children are a blessing from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Let me just pause there just for a moment. God is saying he's blessed us with children. If you have children, he said they're like arrows in our hand. Like arrows, you know, and arrows, you shoot arrows out, right? And that's what he kind of hits at in this very next verse. He said, happy or blessed is a man who has his quiver full of them. Quiver, that's a little thing that they put your arrows in. So God said, if you got your home full of kids, you're blessed. You're blessed. And then he says, they shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. So look, think about this, parents. We got children and they're like arrows in our quiver. They're like arrows in our scabbage or our holding place. And we shoot them out every day. We shoot them out when they go to school. We shoot them out when they maybe leave to go to college or go to trade school or wherever they go, or to the military. We they're like arrows in our hands. So we got to try to shoot them out straightly, right? They're like arrows in our hands. That's one of the ways, the primary way, really, that God, that's one, you know, we thank God for the Christian church. Yes, yes, yes. But really, at the very home level, if nothing else, your kids and my kids should be impacting those that they come in contact with. Young people, are you impacting people in your middle school or your elementary school or your high school or your college? Are you impacting people for Christ? That's what you should be doing. Impacting people for Christ. Sister Janelle and Kayla, impact people for Christ. Bailey, when you go up there at Nashville, impact people for Christ. As a young person, impact people, Josh. Impact people for Christ. You're like arrows that God is shooting out into this culture. Because we know that many households don't have a biblical compass. They're not Christ-centered. So those of us who do proclaim the name of Christ, those of us who come to church and come to Sunday school and those things, we should be different when we go out into the world. Amen? Turn with me now over to Deuteronomy 6. It's the fifth book of the Bible, Deuteronomy. So go left, don't go right. You turn it. The child's role in the home. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's well pleasing to the Lord. Honor your father and mother. It's the first commandment. You should almost memorize this. I've said it enough this morning. It's the first commandment. It's the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you, that you may live long on the earth. So like when you're at East Hamilton, Sister Sydney, you should be making a difference. Udawah High School, you should be making a difference. Wherever God has placed you, whatever campus you are on, or whatever job you are on, you should be making a difference for Christ. I call this kind of like the Magna Carta for parents, for families. Listen to this. Deuteronomy 6. Starting at verse 4 says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. So he's addressing the people of God. In this context, the Israelites, but in our context, the Christians this morning. That the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And listen to this commandment. This is for all of us this morning. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. There it is right there, family. There it is right there, church. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. You know, when he asked Jesus one time in the New Testament, trying to trip him up as they often did, well, Master, what is the greatest commandment? What's the greatest commandment? Jesus, I'll sum it up for you real simply. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. Then he said, of course, the second is likened unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. So here it is, beloved. We are to love God with everything we got. Love him wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly. And then he says, since you're loving God correctly, He said, and these words which I command you today, these words, my word, the word of God, these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. See, that's another thing. Just to say, with our mouth, we love God. We got to hide his word in our heart. His word needs to be seared in our heart and mind. So God, hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Sear your word in my mind that when I think, I'm thinking Christ-like, I'm thinking biblically. So we got to hide his word in our heart. Then he says, you shall teach them what? God's word, his commandments. You shall teach them. Parents, you and I, that's our part to teach. Once again, our children, young people, your part is to listen, to learn, to absorb, to apply. But you shall teach them diligently to your children. Well, when? How? Well, you shall talk of them, talk of God, and talk of his word. When? Well, when you sit up in your house, when you get up in the morning, talk to your kids about the Lord, young or old, especially when they're really young, but even older as well. God said, when you're waking them up, getting them ready for school, talk about me. Sing a little hymn, quote a verse to them. Talk about Jesus when you get them up in the morning. Then he says, when you walk by the way, when you're hanging out with your kids, when you're doing a little extracurricular activities or doing work around the house, talk about the Lord. When you're talking about the Lord when you get them up in the morning, you're talking about the Lord as you're around the dinner table and as you're doing stuff together at home or on vacation, whatever, you're talking about. Then also he said, when you lie them down. Even at night, parents, when was the last time you prayed with your kids when you put them to bed at night? That's young or old. I mean, pray over them even when they get high school or whatever. Still pray over them. Either in their presence or not in their presence, but definitely pray over your kids. So he said, when you lay them down at night, still talk about me, God said. Let them know who I am. Talk about me when you lay them down at night. And then he said, when you rise up in the morning, do it again. Start over again. So that's 24/7. That's around the clock, modeling Christ-likeness before our kids, walking with them, talking about Jesus, talking about God. Because, see, really, that should just be an extension of our own lifestyle. So it's something that should be naturally happening anyway. But the Lord said, tell them about me. Tell them about your Savior. Tell them about your God. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. Then when the world starts telling them all this other, they'll be, no, my mama and daddy, they didn't say that. No, mama and daddy, they don't believe in this evolution stuff. They believe in creation. Genesis 1 said, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Then he says, not only that, when you rise up, but then he also says, talking about the word of God, talking about the scriptures, he said, you should bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Basically, God is saying that the word of God should be preeminent in your home. The word of God should be the compass for our homes. We should be talking about the Lord, telling people about things, our kids about the word of God. Even maybe put some verses on the refrigerator or other places around your home. Talk about the word of God. Tell them about Jesus Christ. Tell them about Jesus Christ. Tell them the gospel. The good news. See, that's where evangelism really begins. It begins first in our own home. I say it begins first in our own home. Where we tell our kids about Jesus. Tell our kids about the good news of how we were separated from God. But God loved us so much. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. We just had the Lord's Supper. He died for our sins. He was buried, but he rose again. So we tell our kids about Jesus. And not just with our lips, but with our lifestyle. They should see a difference in our lives. You know, from time to time, they might be around other adults or over somebody else's house. They should see a difference between a Christian home and a pagan home. They should see a difference between a home that's Christ-centered and godly versus one that is not. So you and I, as parents, our job is to tell people about Jesus. And young people, your job is to listen and say, I want to get to know this Jesus for myself. I've been hearing mama and daddy talk about him. Seems like he's been pretty good to them, so I want to get to know him for myself. I want a taste of the Lord and see of myself that, yes, he is good. So we want to tell our kids about Jesus, the one who came down through 40 and two generations, the one who lived a perfect sin-free life, the one who died on Calvary's cross, the one who, even while he was on earth, he caused the lepers to be cleansed. We need to tell them about the one who indeed caused the blind to receive their sight. We need to tell them about the one who rose people even from the dead. We ought to tell them about the one who indeed took the crippled man and allowed him to get up and walk. We need to tell them about the one who walked on water, even himself. We ought to tell them about the one who fed 5,000 people, not counting women and children, with two fish and five loaves of bread. We ought to tell them about the one who was on a ship one day and they thought they was going to go down, thought it was going to be shipwrecked, and he just walked out on the billow of the ship and he said, "Peace be still," and the winds and the waves calmed down. We ought to tell them about the one who is indeed our way, the truth, and the life. We ought to tell them about the one who is the bread of life, the life and the resurrection. We got to tell them about the one who is indeed our living water. We got to tell them about the one who indeed we walk with and we talk with, and we have a real relationship with this Jesus. He's not just some detached deity, but he's the one who woke me up this morning. He's the one who put clothes on our back. He's the one who put food on the table. He's the one who put a roof over our head. We got to tell them about the one that we have a relationship with, that we have a real tangible relationship with. We got to tell them about the one who woke us up in our sound and in our right mind this morning. It was God. It was Jesus. So we got to tell our young people about the one that we have a relationship with. And young people, you got to come to the Lord yourself. We can't save you. God didn't have any grandchildren. You got to come yourself and find out that this God, that this Jesus, he is a good God. He is a good God. He is a good God. He even says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." He indeed hears and answers prayers. He indeed saves souls. He indeed brings the people who are in darkness into God's marvelous light. He is indeed the one who can change your life around. And you might say, "I'm not just saying what I've heard or read, but he's turned my life around. He's changed my life. He's changed your daddy or your mama's life around." We got to let them know that this God is real. This Jesus is real. This is not just something just like an educational class. No, this is somebody we have a relationship with. Let them know. Let them know that you want them to be with him. Yeah. You want them to be with him. Because he's a mighty good God. He's an on-time God. He's a God who specializes in doing amazing things. Oh, give him a hand clap of praise. I'm through. So our job is to instruct them, to lead them, to guide them, to point them to the Savior. Your job, young people, is to come to the Savior.